Welcome back to Rain on Your Parade with JL Covan. I'm JL Covan here, as always, with Producer Mike. Hello, Producer Mike.
Hi, JL. How are you? Hi, everybody. How's it going out there?
Well, I can't speak for them, but I've had a crazy week.
Yeah, we were talking before the show started, and it sounds like you have had some neurological issues.
Yeah. You know, you turn 45, you shit in a box and mail it to Cologuard.
Yeah. Have you done it yet?
I have. Can I tell you something about my shit box?
Please. Everybody's on bated breath.
I felt like a guy, during a hookup going, I don't know what's that. It's like new. I'm really bigger. Like, I don't know. It's like, I don't know. I jerked off a couple times earlier today. I don't know. Like, not a lot of blood flow. I don't know. It was like the worst shit I'd taken in months. I wanted a good
tell
soft
me more about
serve.
The shit. Yeah. Just in case anybody's eating.
Yeah. I'll clip this.
Yeah.
I wanted a big soft serve, you know, 16 handles.
Yeah.
Give me the large cup.
Yeah.
Cologuard. And instead it was just like a medium sized dog shit.
Ew.
And hard. And I attached a note when I sent it to Cologuard. I said, I'm normally much better than this. So please don't judge me on this one shit where you try to determine if I have colorectal cancer.
Good Lord.
So health, everybody, health. It's important. This is a pro health show.
Yeah.
You know, don't be too strong. I did also, I want to know if there is anybody out there like with stage 4 colorectal cancer who's like dying words are, yeah, but at least I'm not gay, bro.
Well, knowing the audience of this show, there's got to be one.
A couple of accidental listeners,
yeah,
who are still waiting. I thought this was going to be an Alpha Bro podcast. Yeah, we were promised.
Doesn't he like do Trump?
But I've been getting very dizzy recently, which neurological issues make me very nervous. And on Sunday, I woke up and like the room was spinning, and it's been spinning for a couple of days. So I researched all the causes and then ruled out the ones I didn't want to pay attention to, like brain tumors.
Yes.
And but then we settled on like a medium level issue,
yeah,
which was like diabetes.
Yeah.
And I was like pre-diabetic in January. You know, I was in great shape 2 years ago. And then all of a sudden, fucked up shoulder surgery, losing your job and having your special get raped for 2 years.
Yeah.
Boy, did that stress me out.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to stay as disciplined with the baby carrots and the gym routine.
Yeah, yeah.
Once all that hit. But, so I started eating healthy and go to the gym. It's been day 4. Laura says she's going to give me like a 1 week chip when I,
great.
And hopefully it's covered in nacho cheese.
Yeah.
because it just became clear the dizziness is gone. And I think this was like a pre-diabetic sort of issue where I'd eaten too much sugar and like bad stuff for a few weeks.
How bad is it that you're getting lightheaded from your diet? Like, you say this all the time, and I really do wonder what this diet is like, because I just can't imagine it's that bad.
But I think I'm now in a condition where I did the damage. As Timbaland said, the damage is done. So I guess I'll be leaving. No. We're doing his, Cry Me a River.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. People call that a Timberlake song. I call it Timbaland featuring Justin Timberlake. Come on. You know, that entire album was basically sharecropping.
Yeah, right. Well,
like, take Timbaland away from that album.
Yeah.
And you it have crap.
Yeah. It ain't much.
Anyway. So my diet, I think in my 30s was really bad. So now I think I'm closer to this level of like, as I get older and all the build up shit, if I have like a bad month, I push myself closer. I'm about 70 pounds overweight.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Rangers playoffs and all the playoffs, like I am sitting in front of my TV.
Yeah.
Just like a box of cookies, barbecue takeout.
But is this every day?
6 days a week.
Oh man. Really?
No. But I'm saying, I think there is enough built-in damage now that I need to be like treated like it's a precondition,
which is
exactly what it is. So I'm getting closer to the condition.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong, at 6'7" and angry, I probably scare a lot of people.
Yes.
If you chopped off my calves, I'd be like a more friendly looking 5'9" or however big my calves are.
Yeah.
I think I'd probably get more work 6'1". With no calves.
Yeah, right.
Like, wow, he's tall, but not like freaky tall. I kind of like him.
And now he's disabled.
Oh, yeah.
Think about the doors that opens up for you.
And people will be like, oh, I bet he was so nice before, and now he's just really grumpy because he's disabled. Wrong, bitch.
Yep, wrong.
Open the door for me. Can't you see I'm missing legs? So, basically, I'm just letting everybody know every week might be the last week for this show.
Right.
You know, you don't want to wake up and have the room spinning. It's like, but I haven't had a drink in 4 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's going on?
Right.
I was nauseous, but I think we've come to the conclusion. I've done a 4-day experiment on myself and eaten no processed sugars and limited my calories and worked out every day. I don't feel dizzy anymore, which is comforting to think. I think I figured it out, but also scary to be like,
I mean, you could have been dehydrated. There's a million things that
I drink
could have
a
been.
Gallon of water a day.
Okay.
Legit, right. Like literally I have a gallon every day.
I believe you. Yeah. But there's a lot of reasons that a lot of things can happen. And it's probably good. If this is what it takes for you to like really take care of yourself, then that's a good thing. You shouldn't be like, fuck it. Oh, I'm not dizzy anymore. Back to the cookies. But I don't know. I mean, do what feels good for you, but
cheat
on the diet.
No.
Oh, just in general.
Yeah.
Listen, man.
No, the answer's no, Mike. Bad friend. That was a test. That was a test, and you failed. And if my girlfriend listened to my content, she might know that you're a bad friend. But since I don't snitch, I guess she'll never know. She doesn't listen or watch my stuff.
Lucky her.
Well, that's why I call her my number one fan. Just like all my fans. Huge fan. My fans live by the Owen Wilson and Zoolander motto.
Yeah.
Another hero of mine is Sting. I don't listen to his music, but he's making it, and I respect that.
Yep.
So that's on the health front, a little mixed bag of good news, bad news.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the Reaper's watch now, but I think I've
pushed him away for now.
Yeah, I gave him a stiff arm for now. Picked up a first down. The other thing is, and I'm asking fans, and I know I just torched you a minute ago if you were paying attention, but, and I know you're tired of hearing this, but I have to make an announcement about half blackface. And I know it's funny. It's my greatest work, and it has been a true, I'm actually writing a memoir about the making of it called Mein Kampf, which is German for my struggle. I don't know if you knew that.
Mm-hmm.
But, basically, I've been in some legal, having some legal developments with it. I don't know the outcome yet. Maybe it'll go to a full-blown lawsuit, or maybe it will be settled. But I have 8 reviews on Amazon Prime. And I know this sounds like a petty thing, but it's like you keep... The thing for me is every time I lower my expectations for my fans or people who support me, they don't get mad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, if I just sell 10 tickets, you sold one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it started as like, can I sell 200? 150, pretty good.
Yeah.
And then we get down to like, if I just sell 8 tickets, they won't cancel the show. We have 1 ticket sold. We're canceling your show.
Yeah.
Now, I get people don't want, people are both conditioned to not buy things now, like comedy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really depressing on many levels for me, both as an artist, sorry to sound pretentious, but as an artist, but also as somebody who wants to make a living at this. You know, I have basically been shut out from a variety of comedy clubs, and I don't think it's a coincidence. I don't think it's a coincidence that legal action has led to that, and I was prepared for that.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is I'm at this point now where it's basically me relying on the fan base that I have. Doesn't help that I've been shadow banned on Twitter.
Yeah.
That hurts the game. But that's basically all I have. It's like, you know, instead of the I've always depended on the kindness of strangers, I have to depend on some of my fans not being completely cheap and apathetic.
No.
which you'd think is a low standard since the special is free.
Yeah.
So we kind of took care of the cheap part.
Yeah.
It's on Amazon Prime and it's on Tubi, and you can watch it free on either of those. And Tubi, you don't even need like a membership or anything to do. You just watch it. Just let the ads play, and then like 10 cents goes to somebody not named me.
Yeah.
And but what the issue I have is with 8 reviews, I asked last week for people if they could go review it. And I think everybody has that sort of, my career is like Kitty Genovese. Do you know that story?
I do, yeah.
That's what my career is basically. My career is being raped in a courtyard. And everybody's going, well, somebody else will review it.
Right, right.
Somebody else will buy a ticket.
Right.
and I'm screaming for help. Yeah. And I'm going to be in law school textbooks one day. And right now you're going, well, my neighbor's certainly going to watch that special. That's a funny fellow over there. And none of you are. And nobody's reviewing it. I have 7 reviews. My favorite one was the woman who gave it very high praise, but said, the things I didn't like is how he said Italians are racist.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what I don't like?
Oh, so you responded.
No, you can't.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately. But I was like, I don't like racism. So I guess maybe we can meet in the middle and Italians can stop being racist. But she said, but I get it because he's half Irish and Irish are racist against themselves. And I was like, whoa.
The Irish and the Italians do not get along.
Well, for people who have watched Half Blackface, it is there. One of my bits in that is about how I say the Irish are like the traditional white guy athletes
mm-hmm.
of racism.
Mm-hmm.
It's fundamental. It's hard R, but it's mostly anger.
Mm-hmm.
You get a lot more flair, a lot more touchdown celebration dances from Italians in the racism end zone.
Yeah.
And so I did find it interesting, though, saying that Irish are racist against themselves. Is that way of saying, like, there's more woke Irish people who are like, we got to do something to help the blacks. Get a load of Mickey McMickerson over here complaining about all this stuff. We don't need that. We don't need to feel bad about who we are. We don't got to get woke like the Irish. Okay, go dance on your Lucky Charms, bitch. But the point, and then one guy wrote a hateful review. 1 star, it went up like 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it, and it wasn't even really, it felt like somebody who had just decided to hate on it.
Sure.
Because it was not really connected. It was like, I don't buy his self-deprecation shtick or whatever. And I was like, Mike, do you know me to be that self-deprecating? I'm just shy of Kanye West when it comes to praising my own material.
There is
my greatest regret is that I'll never go see me perform. But I think that's the regret of all my fans too, because they don't see me perform. So we're all in the same Kanye boat.
Yeah. I would say the scale swings wildly.
Yeah, that's called that's the depression.
But yes. Right. Yeah.
And by the way, I'm supposed to see somebody about getting some antidepressants. So I'm sorry, everybody, if that ruins the show.
It doesn't make it different. It'll help you. You should maybe look into that.
No, I'm not only looking into it. Like by June, I'm going to come in here.
It doesn't make you less funny, I can promise you.
Says the guy who quit comedy. Anyway.
That's a good point. Fair. I don't have much of an argument.
Honest, quitting comedy might be, even more than medication, what my mental health needs.
I'll say I quit comedy and my life has gotten increasingly better. More money, more. I'm making more things now. You never know.
Yeah. Anyway, the point is, of all of this diatribe, that I'm not mad at the hater.
Mm-hmm.
That's what haters are supposed to do, to quote the great Cat Williams. He's hating. I don't even know if he watched the special. Because it's like, it felt, or he or she, it felt disconnected a little bit. It was just like, I don't like this guy. Maybe they did watch the special. Thank you for watching if you did, hater. But the fact that I
and
have...
And also, fuck you.
Yeah. but a respectful fuck you. Right. In the field of battle.
Right.
Artistic genius, pathetic bitch hater, we are opponents. We are opponents and we go to war. And I can respect your role in this eternal time-honored conflict. It's the people on my side. Martin Luther King said, it's not the racists in the Klan, it's the white moderate.
Yeah.
You have to be watchful for. What I'm telling you right now is, it's not the hater giving me 1 star on Amazon. It's the apathetic moderate fan who can't watch a free thing or give a review. I have over 200,000 people subscribed or following me on social media.
Yeah.
7 reviews on Amazon is all we could muster. And I'm just saying, this is it for me. And I don't mean this in a depressing way. I am getting like, the club avenues are shrinking for me because I, in part, stood up for myself in a legitimate way.
Yeah.
Now that is, you know, when you're in a city and the other club in a city stops returning your emails, you can put 2 and 2 together and be like, oh, am I on a text chain or something? Hey, guy who's never really done much of anything, don't blow him. He thinks he's a fucking human being with rights.
Right.
So, it's up to you guys. And I'm talking to the people who listen to this podcast. This is a self-selected group of, you know, 4 digits. And I need you guys to watch it and give it a review and share it with somebody. and God forbid I get the rights to that album back.
Yeah.
Then we're going to need some people to open up those wallets. Sorry, guys. I know you just stopped the episode, but that's all I wanted to talk about up top. We got a fun episode today.
I can't. I hope.
Well, it may be dark. Death, the death of my career, but you laughed plenty during that intro.
I did.
So thank you.
Yeah.
That's what I'm here for.
This is the JL special today.
So
you're getting from all.
But it is. I am saying to my fans who I believe, like, it's, I need you. Like, not in a superficial way, but in a, if you like my comedy, there is no tomorrow. To quote Apollo Creed in Rocky III, there is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. I'm having brain neurological issues. This is it.
Yeah.
This is it. So if you like the special, spread the word. If you really liked it, leave a nice review. And that's it. And I'm sorry to like petition you like this, but can I quote one more pop culture reference?
It's your dime, man.
You're our only hope. Obi-Wan, you're our only hope. So after this, we've talked about fans. After this, Mike, we're talking about friends. Welcome back, everybody. Mike, how was your break?
It was a good break.
Okay, well, that's good. It was, I got some helpful tips on you. Into the microphone. That's a new, that's a good podcast tip.
Episode 36, I think, and we're getting
37 if you count the one you deleted. Third parties, everybody, go listen to
only
the audio.
The video. The audio made it out.
The audio is great. The video was even better, and you'll never know. What I want to talk about this week, and I don't know if this is going to be as clickbaity as Trump or white people or last week did pretty well. Conservative comedy.
It did.
Call me Cat Timpf. But I wanted to talk about something because I invested five months watching this show.
Yeah.
A little show called Friends, which you can watch on HBO Max. I loved it. And I remember watching it as a kid. It came on. It started at a time when I was starting to fade from television. Not because I had screens or a cell phone, but because I had a fucking life.
Mm-hmm.
And so my mom, but this was, this was back in the 90s, ancient history for some, where like it was Seinfeld and Friends, I believe. Was Seinfeld the lead into Friends when it started?
It was Seinfeld, Frasier, and Friends. Get Frasier on too.
Yeah, of course. So you can't forget Frasier. I try to.
Niles.
But the point is, it started in the mid-90s. Seinfeld started in like 90.
Yeah, Friends, Seinfeld was before Friends.
Yes, yeah. Friends started in like 94. And I read Matthew Perry's book right after he died. I treat artists the way I assume I'll be treated.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to enjoy my money until you're dead.
Yeah.
So I guarantee you my albums will be on the top of the charts posthumously.
Yeah.
Sure. Never before. But I read Matthew Perry's book and it was really good. And it got me just thinking, I got to revisit Friends because I only watched in high school. I would sit and watch TV with my parents. I was a good kid. I'd do my homework, go to practice. And then like, it wasn't a thing where you're on your own screen. If there was sports or something, I'd be in my room. But right. Other than that, I would be, I'm going to watch Seinfeld or Friends or Cheers or whatever. So I'd just be in the living room
yeah.
with my parents. And it also imbued upon me the sense of like, oh, my parents don't fight when there's comedy around. They just laugh.
That's pretty deep, JL.
Yeah. Oh, no. I learned that lesson very early on. Comedy was like on so many levels, a balm.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be mad while comedy's on.
Right.
Sports is a different thing. My dad would just root for Reggie Miller just to get my mom to say, fuck you.
Yeah.
And he would look at me and give me this big, obvious wink like, wow, that Reggie Miller can shoot. And my mom was so mad.
Yeah.
As you can imagine.
Yeah.
So mad she couldn't even take the joke. She's like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And Michael Jordan, wow, what a great player. Oh, he's a piece of shit. It's trust me, this will be my whole life. will make a great movie or sitcom.
Yeah.
Like some beige comedian.
Everybody hates JL.
JL hates everything.
Yeah, right.
And then we use the Sky Rizzy song. And nothing is everything.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. That was my song of the pandemic. You know, Dua Lipa.
I woke up this morning with the it's not Ozempic, but it's
the diabetes one.
I'm love darling my A1C.
Yes. That's the new Sky Rizzy. That is the new one.
Yeah, Sky Rizzy is things are getting clearer.
Oh yeah. I feel free.
Yes. Oh my God. I can't believe they figured it out. The pharmaceutical companies figured out how to get the earworms.
Yes.
So we will ask our doctors for the product.
I want to get diabetes now. Maybe that's why I'm eating so badly.
So bad.
Can I have the fun drug? And I love the fact that in that commercial, there's a lot of chunkies.
A lot.
Yeah.
And they're all dancing.
The main woman is kind of like a fun chunky.
Show business really has not changed in 100 years. We still want to see dancing fat people.
But yes, Sky Rizzy, and they went to different versions of it.
Yeah.
The original is the goat.
Yeah.
And I loved it. But anyway.
Sorry.
No. There's not. We don't apologize. We don't do cancel culture on this show. But so I remembered like the first, when I started watching Friends like 7 months ago or something, I was like, I think all the episodes I saw were in like the first couple seasons.
Mm.
Because
seen it through.
No, not even close.
Okay.
I was in college and then I didn't watch any TV in college or law school. Not because I was like, I don't watch TV. I'm a scholar. It was just like,
right. Busy.
Sorry guys. Can't make the party. Right. I'll be catching up on my programs.
Right.
No. It's a beautiful time. That's why I think screens are a bad thing for high school and college kids also, because there's so much better things to do than on a fucking screen.
Yeah.
Like whether it's sports or hanging out or staring at cleavage or going to a party and getting drunk, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Those are all lowbrow, but fun and more useful to your growth and development than screens. But anyway. Yeah. I realized as I was doing a rewatch, I was like, I only really saw episodes from the first couple seasons because those would have been seasons where I was sitting with my mom and dad and enjoying the show. But I said, you know what? After the Matthew Perry book, which I recommend, I said, let me watch it. It's on HBO. Let me watch it. Everybody did this during the pandemic. I still haven't watched Queen's Gambit.
Mm, okay.
And that was the huge show of the pandemic. And Tiger King I did watch.
Right.
But as I say to people, I'm sorry I wasn't catching up on content during the pandemic. I was a fucking hero. I still get emails to this day telling me how I got people through things. So could you leave a 5-star review? Could you get me through this thing? How about that? Is that fair? I got you through a global catastrophe. Could you log on to Amazon and go 5 stars? Thank you, JL. Good special. Is that too much to ask? As I get dizzy every morning from stress and pre-diabetes. Anyway, let's take it down a notch, Mike. You're getting a little too heated.
Friends.
How many of us have them?
Okay, come on.
What?
Let's get.
That's anti-black there. That was anti-blackness.
After last week's episode of the timelines for the focus timelines fraying, I'm trying to keep you on track.
Low key, I was like Loki.
You had me beat last week because I was tired by the time you got into record. This week, I'm on it.
Oh wow! So last week was like game 1 and 2 for the Minnesota Timberwolves, and now Jokic Coscarelli is back.
The late afternoon, early evening recordings. When you win, you win. I won't fight you on anything. But when we're mid afternoon,
okay,
you're mine.
Well, then I have good news about our next month and a half of recordings. Day job. Anyway, I watched Friends and I mowed through this shit. Now, here's what I will say. First off, I haven't. I watched Living Single. I watched more of Living Single when it was on because that started like a couple of years earlier, I think. So I had more time to like watch it. Not memorable. I just remember it had Queen Latifah and Tootie from Facts of Life, Kim Fields.
Mm-hmm.
Smoking hot. Like this was like, that's, you know, as like a 14-year-old, like that's Tootie from Facts of Life.
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't remember a lot of the show. It was like pleasant. I just watched it. It didn't leave a mark, but I watched probably a couple seasons of it just because whether it was after a show I watched or whatever. But, and I opened for John Henton He played the handyman on Living Single. Very nice guy. And his audience bought a lot of merch. So good people. But I get tired, first off, of the Living Single Friends. Like, whenever Friends trends for something, there's always this thing on Twitter where it's like, Living Single did it first and did it better. And then as people were discovering Friends, people were like, people think this show is funny, or memes of like, people, Friends is funny, me, colon, and a picture of somebody like.
Well, that's how I feel.
Yeah, well, you're wrong. Here's what I will say. If you watch the pilot of Friends, not good. And I feel like when people are introduced to Friends, they watch it and go, but this was in a different time, much like Seinfeld. And we've discussed this, where a show got a season to develop and figure things out. And I felt like Friends figured things out from episode 1 to 2. I thought the pilot was like not that funny and a lot of things wrong with it. And then by the end of season 1, I was like, oh shit. Like, these are six. And the thing is, it's six. It's the main people, obviously, are the six main characters. I think they went 6 for 6 on excellent comedic acting. I think all six of them hit it out of the park. And I was surprised by that after making it through 10 seasons and the reunion special. And I was sort of like super impressed. I go, that's why this show had 10 seasons, millions of viewers, and everybody on the show became worth $100 million. Now, before I get into more specifics, please enlighten me why it sucks, since you're a younger person than me.
I mean, when I was young, I was in, I guess it was high school, probably early high school, when the DVD box set was king, and every show that was worth watching essentially had its DVD box set come out. And this is around the time that I'm getting into Seinfeld and classic shows that I eventually become, you know, very into as a person who eventually goes off into trying to write and do stand up and whatever. And Friends was always the show that when we collectively hung out as a big group of friends, there's like 20 of us between the guys and the girls. We would be forced to watch Friends when the girls got to pick what they wanted to watch. And to us, it was always like, well, this is funny to girls because this is like kind of like a dumb show.
And how old were you at this point?
Probably like 12 or 13.
Yeah. You know? And I think that's your most Friends. Okay.
No, but I always thought that it was, I understand the appeal. I don't think it's as bad as like How I Met Your Mother or Big Bang, some of these shows that I'm just like, I don't get it at all. I get the appeal. I just think it kind of is like lame. It's not even that it's not funny. And I do think it's a talented cast. Yes. I like Schwimmer and other things. Yeah. Matthew Perry, you know, I found a bit annoying.
Right.
Like Chandler is just like an annoying character to me. And so is Phoebe. You know, Phoebe, I think Lisa Kudrow is great. I think that character is so fucking annoying. And I don't know. I think that there was basically, I did like Joey. I thought that Matt LeBlanc was
big shock. The Italian who fucks a bunch of chicks. Wow.
I thought they did some like fun, interesting stuff with him.
Yes.
But I don't know. I just like, I couldn't care about Matthew Perry's character. I couldn't, but I get it. America kind of like, there's a personality that almost every single person watching the show could identify with.
Right.
Like, you could be a Joey, you could be. Whereas, like, Seinfeld, even, they didn't even really have that. Like, not everybody could relate to being, are you a Jerry? Are you an Elaine? Like,
right.
They are all kind of the same character in a lot of ways with little things that make them different. Whereas in Friends, they are all six different people, you know?
And just another shout out to Julie Louis-Dreyfus.
The GOAT.
Top 5 woman on the planet for me.
I agree. Smoking hot, especially in her day.
Her day is still going on, by the way.
No, I know, but like prime, smoking hot, unbelievably funny in Seinfeld, a trailblazing feminist character.
Yeah, 11 Emmy. She's tied with Cloris Leachman. if not for fucking Fleabag,
yeah,
she gets a 12th Emmy.
Yeah.
And she is the good, she's Bill Russell,
yeah, right,
of TV acting.
Yeah, she's incredible.
She's fucking incredible. How's Fleabag going? Had that fucking 12-20 minute episodes. A genius. Oh yes, snarky is the new awesome. And I hated that show.
Yeah.
And I love the fact she had a huge deal from Amazon. And now what's her big new project after how many years we've been waiting for it? A Tomb Raider series. Because
oh, no.
As a guy who played Tomb Raider for the action and the big tits, so glad to see that Lara Croft will finally be what we want her to be.
Is she
snarky?
She's Lara Croft.
She's writing it.
Oh boy.
See?
Yeah.
For everybody who thinks I'm a little too mad right now.
That's not, I don't love
the okay, I've gotten, am I shooting you? Am I doing like treasure hunting? What's going on here? talk to the camera. I'm Lara Croft. I got a breast reduction before the show, but now I'm hunting for treasure, apparently.
I didn't,
oh, boo! Boo!
I didn't see the new Indiana Jones, but it got ripped apart because of her.
Well,
they said that she was impossible to watch on screen.
She has not that every female character in Indiana Jones has to be a sex pod or sex.
No,
it's, but she has no anything.
No, but, Karen Allen's character is not a sex pod at all.
That movie is not bad, by the way. I was shocked. I watched it. I didn't
go
see it in
the
theater. Which was the one? I didn't go see it in the theater. And a buddy of mine said, no, it's pretty good. And I was like, there's got to be a tax for Kingdom of the Grey Skull or whatever, Crystal Skull.
Yeah, yeah.
There. If I go and give you money in Indiana Jones franchise after you made one of the worst movies ever,
yeah, it's bad.
Then what's the penalty? Yeah. I'm just a fucking drone going, hey, you made a new one?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I go see it.
Yeah.
I go see it because it's Friday and I go see the movie. Yeah. Give me popcorn and a shitty film. No. So, yes, Tomb Raider, snarky Tomb Raider. You know, we'll see. Or maybe we won't.
Yeah, well, I won't.
But
anyway, friends.
Yes, so they robbed Julia Louis-Dreyfus. She's hot. She's a billionaire.
We got so far away from
a billionaire. No. I feel like Elaine is right next to Friends. They're neighbors on TV.
Yeah, sure.
In the TV guide, they're neighbors.
That's true.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus, JLD, JLC.
Yeah.
And she has this movie that's on Showtime, really charming indie comedy, where Tobias Menzies is her husband. He's 48. She's like 62. Mm-hmm. They work.
Yeah.
It's the biggest reversal. It's like she's 14 years older and you're like, completely makes sense.
Yep.
17 years? You did 14 in the movie. What's 17?
Yeah.
Anyway, my brother went to Northwestern. Your kid went to Northwestern. Come on. One initial on the towels. Anyway, Friends. Another thing that people complain about, how did they afford that apartment?
Yeah, that is.
It's explained in season two.
What was the explanation?
She inherited it. She's there illegally. She took it like her grandmother. It was her grandmother's apartment. So this is people not doing their research.
Yeah.
I've done the research. Uh-huh. Okay. They explain all the things. Like the things that people are like, how are they? What did you watch? Two episodes?
Mm-hmm.
They do explain it. They address all the concerns fairly early in the total show. But that's just the main complaints is it's not funny. You might have only watched the pilot. I feel like if people watch the pilot and judge the whole show from that, I wouldn't say they're wrong. I think the pilot might have been the worst episode.
Mm-hmm.
An interesting story from Matthew Perry's biography is one of his best friends. Who you might recognize? I don't know if you've seen him. There was this show on Lifetime that was like a parody of The Bachelor, not a parody, but it was like a drama, like a fake docuseries mm-hmm. about like a Bachelor type show. He was on that, but I'd never seen him in anything else. But he was like a hot comedy actor. He was the guy getting all the pilots. Okay. Matthew Perry's friend. He gets offered two shows that season. They want him for Chandler. But he also can be like the name lead of a different show. Well, we all know which one he took. And it like hurt their relationship, Rob, because it was like, not because Matthew Perry did anything wrong.
Yeah.
But it was just like too painful. It was like, you're one of the biggest stars on the planet. Right. Your grandkids will never have to ask for money.
Yeah.
Like, they'll never have to work. So that is one of the great what ifs. And he had it.
Yeah.
Like, it was offered to him. It wasn't like, we were going out for it and you got it. Fuck.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's just a little bit of a tidbit. But I think everyone in the cast is impressive. I think, first off, Rachel Green, Jennifer Aniston, who became, I think we would all say, the biggest star from the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. She is so much better than I feel like she became so fashion icon during that time. She is great.
Yeah. The Rachel is a haircut. Yeah. Yeah.
She is great on the show. And by the way, how cold are TV studios? Because the nips were always out. I watched 236 episodes.
Yeah.
And I got, what's 236 times six? That's how many times I saw their nipples. I think Courtney Cox, unbelievably hot.
Yeah.
No ass. I get it. You know, if we're going to get the living single crowd, especially, we'll be upset about that. But they were all assless. Mm-hmm. But what's incredible is these were all super thin women who just had big enough faces that you could be super skinny, mm-hmm. but it didn't make your face look gaunt.
Yeah.
And everybody talked. If I was, what's her name? Courtney Cox. Arquette. Oof.
Yeah.
I mean.
Not anymore, I don't think.
No, but boy, oh boy, did David Arquette
yeah.
buy a stock at the right time.
Yeah.
What in the fuck?
What a life, huh?
But what the fuck?
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, like he bought Apple right before Apple became Apple.
Yeah.
Or as it was becoming Apple, they yeah. just gave some stock to some guy.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
But she was like, everything about Aniston was like her arms and her hair. And I'm like, Courtney Cox pulled off like 30 different haircuts. Mm-hmm. Only one failed. She had one bad haircut. And she was just that they looked like they had the same personal trainer.
Right.
So I'd just be like, if I was Courtney Cox, I'd be like, the million an episode is nice. But why the fuck am I not also Miss Fashion Icon
yeah.
in the streets? And I disagree with you. I think Phoebe also, I think Lisa Kudrow has aged the best, by the way, from the reunion special, but smoking hot, but never got credit because she wasn't there to be the hot one. She was there to be like the artsy gypsy, low-key huge slut on the show, which was kind of funny. Mm. They just reveal that how many, like, she'd be like, oh, it was just passing knowledge. But if you look at her young Lisa Kudrow, now some people will say, as they do on social media, like, oh, Ivanka Trump's disgusting. No, she's not. As a person, she is.
Yeah.
Don't try to convince me that she's not attractive physically.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Lisa Kudrow, young Lisa Kudrow could have played Ivanka Trump like 2016.
Right. But not to me, we're stuck on this one thing about like how hot the women are.
No, I'm doing because this is all part of the culture okay. around Friends.
Okay.
But now, okay. And I need to give a tribute to my dad, who always said to me, his two favorites were, as he said them, Schwimmer and Phoebe, so stupid. And he says, but you have to
be your dad Japanese.
No, I'm telling you, upper crest Haitian accent apparently yeah. comes across like, you know, black Shogun.
Okay.
But he would say, he would just be like, you have to be smart to be that stupid, to play that stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the fact that the show had good, I get bored of a sitcom after about five seasons. A great mm-hmm. sitcom bores me after five seasons. A good example is Modern Family.
Yeah.
I really liked Modern Family, and then I just gave up on it. I was like, you're still witty, you're still fun, you still have a great cast. I'm just not interested anymore.
Yeah.
You know? Just I went right to Ariel Winter's Instagram. You know? Like, we both matured out of Modern Family.
Sure.
that was creepy, JL. Okay? In with the Nickelodeon series and with Drake, I don't think those are appropriate jokes right now. But I was interested the entire time. All 10 seasons. Mm. I think the writing was incredible. And I think to be able to make a sitcom that works, in my opinion, for that long, where like I'm in season eight, I think was the season that may have won best comedy for them. And it's the one where Chandler gets engaged to Monica at the end. And the whole season is about their romance. And that was how many shows that are good or great peak in season eight. Do you know what I mean? That like they're already good and you hit a peak in your eighth season. Like, to me, that's...
How many were there in total?
10.
10?
Yeah. It was season eight, and season eight does the thing that Schitt's Creek did well. They did nothing else well, but they did like tenderness very well. Matthew Perry, I think, for how annoying Chandler Bing was, and I'll say it right now, after watching 10 seasons of that show, I go, take the worst parts of Ross, the worst parts of Chandler, make it 6-7. I think I'm looking in a fucking mirror. Mopey, but too many quips.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys. Comedy sucks.
I will say, to your point, I do think that that is the one difference between Seinfeld and, if we're just comparing, like, the NBC shows, mm-hmm. that I think that Friends did really well. And I did actually like that part of it. The tenderness point, I think, is good. But that is also why I thought, as a younger person, that Friends was lame. Because Seinfeld has no tender moments.
Right.
Seinfeld is just, like, all gas, no breaks. Right.
Like Arrested
funny,
Development
kind
is,
of,
is,
yes.
is like, we're not spending 90 seconds doing a lesson.
Right.
We have 90 more seconds to make jokes.
Right. Because I think that a lot of the great, really great sitcoms of all time do have those moments. Even The Honeymooners has a lot of moments where it's like, it's sketch and silly and whatever. And then at the end, you get the moment where they like, were like, Ralph and I forget the wife's name, but they like connect and they're sort of like, ah, you know, I'm sorry, I'm such a jackass, but I love you so much, whatever. Friends does have that.
Yeah.
Where, and it is those arcs with those character relationships are written very well. You know?
The only one I disagreed with, and we'll get to Joey a little later, because I've been told, even though I like talking, I've been told Vinny wants to get in on Joey.
Oh, I can't wait.
So, but what I will say is from season one, and Matthew Perry says Ross was like the biggest star as far as the show was concerned. It was Ross and Rachel.
Yes.
They had the biggest plot in the beginning of the show.
And they're the ones you want to see get together.
Right.
Right.
Ross, his physical comedy, I had no idea. Like, he is brilliant. And I always thought of him as annoying.
Yeah.
David Schwimmer, absolutely.
You think he's the
brilliant.
Annoying one?
No, well, no. From my previous recollection, I was like, well, Chandler's the funny one.
Right.
This was pre-comedy me. This is just high school me going, I like the guy who comes in and makes the jokes.
Yeah.
But Schwimmer was always annoying to me, and much like maybe you in your life, where it's like the mopey guy who doesn't like his job and is always, Rachel, why doesn't Rachel like me?
Yeah.
It's like, that's not appealing.
Right.
But my God, he is brilliant.
Yeah.
His performance. But I think all of them are brilliant. But it, and Matthew Perry said Schwimmer came to the cast. It was his idea, even though he had the leverage at that point as kind of the lead male of the first, when the first season was done. He said, I think we should all negotiate together.
Right.
He was the one who did that and made that kind of landmark pact. And it was obviously a fucking bargain.
Yes.
A million episode was amazing, but it was a fucking bargain considering the numbers that show did.
Right.
But I was so impressed with the humor, the performances of all six actors, and the fact that it wasn't until season 9 when there was like this inkling of like, will Joey and Rachel become a thing, that I started to go, okay, it's time to wrap it up. Not that I was like, this is bad, but I was like, okay, now you're everything else felt real. This is starting to feel a little bit like we got to find one more hook before we wrap this up.
Yeah.
And I still think it was a fine season, but it was like they did 8 seasons where I was like, I never felt an ounce of staleness or like what is going on. They peaked, I think, with season 8. And it was just, Matthew Perry gets the last joke in the finale when they go, hey, you know, you don't have to move. You don't have to leave just yet. And they go, you want to get some coffee? And he goes, where should we go? It's just a good final line.
Oh, that's Chandler.
Oh, man, come on. But Chandler, it's also knowing. There is a knowingness to the
whole crew. He's sarcastic.
No, but the whole crew is like, you make too many jokes. Like, they're in on it.
Yeah.
It's his character, but they're not, like, blind to it. They're not like, oh, Chandler, you card. They're like, you see that? Too many jokes.
Yeah.
I think...
You card.
Yeah. I finished it and was just like, wow, I get it.
Yeah.
I think it is completely deserving of its place in TV history and as one of the final huge shows.
Yeah.
You know, it's a finale with like 58 million viewers. Like nothing will get that
anymore. Yeah.
And I think they really did knock it out of the park, and I won't have any slander. So the next time a friend's person dies, I don't want to see anybody in my timeline going like, living single was better. To quote Zuckerberg, allegedly from The Social Network, if you were better than friends, you would have been better than friends. but I am tempted to do a living single rewatch now, just to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
But I probably won't. How about that? But I promised somebody wants to speak on this because I think.
Are we going to get him on the other side of a break?
Should we do it on the other side of
the
break?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Not? Well, I'm going to take a fucking long break. And yeah. I guess Vinny will be back to discuss what he hates about friends.
Okay. Got it.
So we'll be back in a second.
And now we bring on somebody very special to the Rain on the Parade podcast to talk about whatever he likes. Un uomo che non sa né leggere né scrive. Vincenzo Agenzero, a.k.a. Vinny the Guinea.
Okay, so it's Vinny's Punchdown of the Week this week. You Vinny, happy to see me, Mikey?
I'm really happy to see you, Vinny. It's been a couple weeks. Where you been?
You know, I had to handle some things. I, you know, some broad was saying, like, I think I'm pregnant.
Oh, you got to deal with that shit, huh?
Bunch of bullshit. I mean, been don't there. Get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Everything works.
Yeah, of course.
But I was like, I pulled out.
Yeah.
I pulled out.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What the fuck do you think that was on your face? Greek yogurt?
Oh, Vinny.
So.
You're revolting.
Well, thank you very much. I take that as a compliment. I knew you guys was doing Friends. I was listening and it was like, next week we're doing Friends. And yeah. I never like, you know me. I know you didn't like it. And I certainly did it for Friends. I got friends.
Right.
Okay. Not fucking annoying fucks living right. in Manhattan. That's what the show should have been called, Annoying Fucks.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I took personal offense at one of the characters.
Who would that be?
You know, obviously Schwimmer is, you know, who gives a fuck? And then the jokey guy, sometimes he was funny. But, like, we all know a guy like that. He's fucking annoying.
Very annoying. That's what I said.
Yeah, annoying.
Did you hear the first part of it?
Get the fuck out of here.
He has that bit. JL was saying he has the last joke of the show where they're like, should we get coffee? And he's like, yeah, where should we go? I thought that was so lame. Didn't you think that was lame? That's not for you.
It's just... At least end the show like you're leaving the show. Have some respect.
Yeah, have some. Yeah, I agree.
You know, fucking Chandler would show up to my nonna's funeral like, well, I bet she looked better alive. Shut the fuck. You want to get fucking beat down? We're going to have another funeral for you, Chandler. Bada bing.
Yeah, bada bing.
That's what we would say to you.
Yeah.
So, and the chicks, I got to admit, I liked all the, I mean.
Got it, yeah.
Aniston.
Yeah.
You know, good enough for Brad Pitt, good enough for me.
Right.
And obviously Monica. You know, she was fucking married to in real life.
David Arquette.
Like, I mean, it's almost you feel bad. It's like, you know, I know she's going to like me if she's fucking going with that spaz.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And then Phoebe, I'm not into, as you can imagine, I'm not into the crystals and hippie shit, but she's actually, you know, she kind of looks like my president's daughter.
Yeah.
Ivanka.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, that's prime real estate. And I'm saying, you know, that's a joke.
Yeah.
Because Trump does the real estate. So right. I'm saying, that she's good real estate.
You should have been on this show. They should have had you on Friends.
Well, that's what I was saying because I was like, you know, and when Friends was on, I was like 16.
Yeah.
But like you could ask my first girlfriend. I was already old man.
Yeah, of course.
And
true stallion.
I'm watching Joey. Tribbiani.
Mm-hmm.
Joey Tribbiani. This offensive fucking stereotype to our people.
Yeah.
Dumb. I mean, me and you, we're not dumb.
Certainly not. No.
I'm smart, not like people say, and I want fucking respect. And I, you know, he was an actor. He had like no skills.
Yeah.
What fucking blue collar Italian guy is going to walk around going like,
yeah. What do you think he should have been doing? Should he be in fixing stuff? And
he didn't know nothing about cars.
Yeah.
He didn't know nothing about... I mean, he was, I guess, a good lover, but when you're fucking all these, like, rich... This rich trim in Manhattan, they don't fucking know a good fuck. You know, they're like, my daddy bought my apartment. Oh, my God, I've never been with an Italian. It's pathetic. It's fucking pathetic.
Yep.
So he's like, he's playing in the minor leagues. You go down to the Jersey Shore. These are chicks who will fucking know how to treat a hog.
Yeah, yeah. Okay? They're built to get destroyed.
They're fucking built.
Yeah.
I work on cars and then I work on that fucking frame.
Yeah, right. And they all look like they just went swimming.
What do you mean?
The hair, the, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's a nice look. Classy. Right.
Forget it, Vinny. I'm sorry.
Anyway. Chandler bada bing over here. But this guy's an actor. He's stupid. And he's getting none of the chicks. You see these guys. I'm Ross. I'm depressed. Can I have Brad Pitt's girlfriend? Oh, sure. Sure. No, the big dick Italian couldn't handle that. Oh, I'm the annoying guy with the jokes. Right, can I have the other hot chick? I'm annoying. Sure, sure. I'm sure she, you know, the fucking hot brunette. I'm sure she loves the annoying guy, not the fucking stallion across the hall.
Of course.
Who's roommates with him. So it was a very disrespectful show to Italians because the one representative we had on the show was a fucking stonad.
Yeah.
And I was 16, so I was too young, but I was getting into a little acting, you know, because I remember I'd heard Stallone, you know, one of the fucking Mount Rushmore Italian actors.
Of course.
You know, it's fucking Sinatra, De Niro, Pacino, Stallone.
Yeah.
Sorry, DiCaprio. Okay. You know, I'm talking real Italians, not the fucking blonde guys from the North. And I was too young, but I mean, if I had gone out for Joey, oh, I mean, they're talking friend, Amici.
Yeah.
It's a fucking,
yeah.
That's a show.
Yeah.
First episode, four way with the three chicks.
Yeah.
That's a pilot episode.
Right. It'd be in Cinemax.
Well, but instead they got, we need a dumb guy. Let's make him Italian. Let me ask you a question. If Joey was Deshaun, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I think you know what I'm saying.
Sure.
Deshaun is Chandler's roommate, and he's a dumb fucking actor who can't read. What do you think they would have, Ash Sharpton would have been canceling Friends. They would have been outside canceling Friends.
Well, does it bother you that there really aren't any black people in the show?
Why would that bother me? There's no black people in my neighborhood. You saying there's a problem with that?
Well, these guys live in New York City.
I live in New Jersey.
Yeah.
There's black people in New Jersey. They just don't happen to live in my neighborhood. Some of them come to my uncle's bakery. You know, because they like that diabetes. You know how the blacks are, they get the fucking diabetes, but hey, it's good for business.
Okay.
Okay, so I don't need friends to be Benetton.
I'm just asking.
And I'm just answering.
I'm asking because you were talking about one type of stereotype, and, you know, I just figured, I thought maybe you cared about representation a little more than you do. That's okay.
Well, no, I do. I don't want the Italian to be the stupid one.
Right.
We are smart people.
Uh-huh.
Okay? We're very smart. We're industrious. You know what that means? That means like you work.
Yep.
We do hard work. Okay? That's a big word. That's no fucking dummy is going to say industrious.
Yeah.
And instead we get the dummy. But if it had been Deshaun, you know, oh, why is the black guy not able to do stuff? Yeah. This is racist.
Of course.
And so they make him Italian, which is totally okay for everybody. So Friends. You're not friends of mine. Okay, you know how we say, this is a friend of mine. Not one of you fucks is a friend of mine.
Not a paisan.
No, they're not one of our people. And if I see fucking LeBlanc.
Yeah.
LeBlanc.
Yeah.
Not Bianchi. LeBlanc. Is this a guy? Is he Italian? Do you know if he's Italian?
It doesn't sound like it. It sounds French.
Canadian. And that's what I'm saying. But I'm wondering, because how offensive is that if this is a guy, if he is Italian and his name was like Biaggi or something, and he's like, I don't want anybody to know him. That's okay for some people in Hollywood. You know the people I'm talking about, and I have great respect for them.
Yeah.
You know, we back Israel. We back them totally. But you know, they go to Hollywood, and it's like, well, my name is now Shane Smith instead of Zach Goldstein.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. But if Matt LeBlanc ain't Italian, that's a problem.
Yeah.
But if Matt LeBlanc is ashamed of who he is And then he goes and does this Italian face shtick.
Okay.
Then we got more problems.
Yeah.
And the Sinatra's day.
Yeah.
You know how he fought The Godfather, which is a great movie, and I'm glad he lost, but I respected him for fighting it.
Yeah.
You're not going to make me look like some fucking sleazebag fucking murderer, even though I'm fucking murdering people in the sleazebag.
Yeah.
You're not going to do that in front of my wife. My wife is going to see this movie. You're not going to have this. But if he was around today, chairman of the board, I don't think friends gets made. Or maybe you have not. Somebody else. You have somebody else instead of Matt LeBlanc playing that role. So, friends, fuck you. That's my review. And especially to Matt LeBlanc. So that's what I got. I'm going to get out of here.
All right. Well, it's good to see you, Vinny. I really wasn't expecting that take on Friends. But
oh, boy, I'm back.
Hey.
How was that?
Vinny, Vinny was Vinny.
He usually kind of bops out of here. He, like, stormed out.
Well, he was mad, anti-Italian stuff, Friends. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know. I had a question for you, though.
Yes, sir.
I thought about this while you were taking a break here. We had talked off mic about some shows. You know, now the style of comedy on television is the single camera. Mm-hmm. It's become really the only thing that they do. To me, they kind of seem all the same. Do you miss single camera, multi-camera television shows in front of an audience?
I don't say what I was saying to you is I think with Friends, I think they, I don't know if perfected it, but they nailed it.
Yeah.
You don't think of it as a multi-camera. You have the audience laughing, but it really, I felt like it was like a perfected version of the multi-camera shoot.
Yeah.
I'm annoyed, and I know no disrespect to Abbott Elementary, but like I'm almost getting bored of the mockumentary style.
I hate it.
I
didn't like The Office.
Oh, wow. Next episode, everybody, The Office.
I hate The Office way more than I hate Friends.
Really?
Yeah. I think The Office is a bad show.
Oh, then we'll give them a break.
Okay.
We'll give them some more current event type topics, but we will have maybe this summer.
I could do hours on why I hate The
perfect.
Office. I hate it.
You'll
so
get
much.
10 minutes.
Okay.
But I watched The Office because I'd watched Parks and Recreation.
Yeah.
Everybody told me The Office, but I was like, well, I missed like 5 seasons of it, so I'll just jump in with Parks and Recreation, which I really liked.
Yeah.
And then a few years ago, I started in 2019, like before the pandemic. I think I maybe finished it in the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah.
But I watched all The Office. I get it. I understood the love and the affection for that show. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
So we can talk about that a different episode. But I think Vinny handled the punch down of the week and then some. Like, I was kind of like, it's taken so
wait,
long.
Wait, so what was your final thought here on the multicam shows?
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't miss them, but because they lend themselves sometimes to a cheesiness. And I didn't think Friends was cheesy. But the multicam kind of playing for the laughs. And as we become a dumber culture, I think more the people who go to a multicam shoot will probably be like the aforementioned Gutfeld audience, where they're either like, I want the most basic humor, or I'm an idiot. Like, I don't know if you're going to get a good audience.
But don't you think comedy works in front of an audience better than it does when every joke is, you know, the cool person looks at the camera?
Oh, I don't need the looking at the camera thing. But what I will say,
to me, that's what every single cam show is built on, is like something weird happens. And then the one normal like type person in the cast like, looks at the camera and is like, what I'm doing right now on the YouTube.
I made this recommendation, I think, on maybe on a Patreon episode, but there was a show, Fisk, on Netflix. It's an Australian comedy.
I remember hearing about
great.
That. Yeah.
Great. And I think it's a single camera, but it's not the mockumentary, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just nobody's ever mugging for the camera. It's just like, no, it's a single camera shoot.
Well, because like Arrested Development works.
Arrested Development is...
Right.
Now that you've mentioned it, that is my number one comedy of all time.
But because it's not a mockumentary.
Right.
They're not aware that the camera's there.
Right.
Which I don't know why that has now become. I know why, because The Office was so successful. But I think that it's just basically The Office has birthed 1,000 clones of just like,
mm-hmm.
the fucking interview where they're like talk. It is just like, I don't understand how people aren't breaking from that format. It's so weird to me.
Two shows birthed modern television. And when I say modern, I mean the last 20 to 25 years or 20 years. Lost.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of dramas follow the format of Lost.
Yeah.
The each episode, we move the plot along and then we give one background story.
Right.
Like a lot of Orange is the New Black did right. it. Like a lot of shows follow that. And I think The Office became the template, not just a style choice, but like, that's the new way you do what we do in the shadows, Parks and yeah. Recreations, Abbott Elementary.
Yeah.
These all follow that. And it's, but at the same time, you look at the success Abbott Elementary has had as like the eighth show to do this. Who's to say that it will only stop when some of these shows bomb?
But yeah.
So it's going to keep going because Abbott Elementary is a critical and commercial success. So.
But this is what I guess I don't understand. Like, how do the critics go, great, another one of these shows, critically acclaimed, you know?
Abbott Elementary is a show I'm sort of waning on it a little bit because it's feeling very, every episode just feels the same now.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that to disrespect the show, but I laughed a lot more in season one, whereas it's now starting to feel very like rote. Like a repeat of itself.
Yeah.
But
how could it not?
The one thing that sets it apart for me is like the kids are really good and it's in a school. So mm-hmm. it's to be honest, it's reflecting a different community. Like it made a conscious choice. And I don't mean that in the woke PC way. I mean it in like they're trying to show this kind of show, but in a very different setting, a school, a largely urban population. So it's but at the end of the day, it's, you know, basically you're a similar, they do interject some storylines with kids once in a while that
yeah.
bring you into like a little bit of a reality within the comedy. But I think that's why it's been felt, it's comedically, it's not really bringing anything new, but it is bringing a new venue to this comedy formula.
Right.
So I think that, but it's, you know, I'm wearing a little thin on it, you know, versus some of the other shows that I stuck with a little longer. But I want to say one thing. So Vinny handled the punchdown of the week and then some. So let's just fucking talk a special I watched yesterday.
Let's do it.
New to HBO, Nikki Glaser. I believe it's called, I never come in with the titles. It's called We'll All Die Someday or We're Gonna Die Someday. It's something cheerful like that.
That sounds about right, but let me look.
Nikki Glaser, and I was last week, I made a mention of her Netflix special from, I think, 2021, and it was called Bangin'. I thought it was called Blowin'.
It's called Someday You'll Die.
Someday You'll Die, which is a fact.
Yes.
Okay, so she's spitting facts right there. I thought, I've always thought she was funny. I always thought for a while, I found it interesting. I felt like when Schumer hit her peak, and I'm not one of these Schumer haters, I get annoyed with that. I think Schumer is funny. And she helped a lot of comedians also. Not so much me. We came up in the Bringer shows together. I wish I could have been on that Sam Morril, Mark Norman sort of, that bus missed my stop.
Yeah.
That would have been cool. I'm not blaming anybody except myself and God.
Yeah.
And maybe a little Amy Schumer as well. But the point is, I've never been in for the fucking slander or the, like, she is a really hated person. And I've always found it very, a little frightening.
Do you know how well do you know her off?
If I saw her in the street, she'd probably say, "Hey, JL." Like she mentioned me on Joe Rogan when she was a guest on Joe Rogan's podcast. It was like a day or two after my Louis C.K. video had gone up, and this was 9 years into my career, and I had done Bringers with her in like 06, 07, 08 before she took off with Montreal.
Yeah.
And she mentioned me on that show when they were talking about the video. She was like, "Oh, JL, he's like, yeah, he's a funny comedian." So that was 2013. Like, and we hadn't seen each other in like 3 years. Mm-hmm. And she was on her rise at that point. Like obviously she was a guest on Rogan. She was doing big things. But I always thought that Glaser was kind of stalking her like Rihanna stalked Beyonce.
Yeah.
And it's like, when you think about it, the imprint of Schumer as a cultural figure is probably bigger than Glaser. because mm-hmm. that's why she's so much more hated, is that she's been more outspoken on things. She was like first to kind of some of the big ticket things. She had the, she's had bigger movies. I don't even know if Glazer's been in movies except maybe a couple with Schumer. So, and I don't mean that as disrespect. I'm just saying Schumer is sort of the bigger pop culture figure, but Glazer has more hits. And I feel like that's Rihanna yeah. And Beyonce. And Bangin', I thought was incredible on, and I'd already had like a, like, man, Nikki Glazer, she is, you're not compromising with her. You don't have to compromise on looks or talent.
There. Yeah.
And so I was very much looking forward to Someday You'll Die.
Yep.
And she looks fantastic. I think she had some work done after this taping before the roast. And she even jokes about like wanting to get some work done in the special. I would say Bangin' I would rank it ahead of this one. I don't think this is as good. I think it's still just, she's very good at what she does. What I just think with this one versus Bangin', even though there was a theme to Bangin', I feel like whether it was Gary Gulman with The Great Depression or Hannah Gadsby with Nanette, there has been this push both from shitty comedians and great ones to kind of be like, I want there to be like a theme, not a one man show type thing, but I want there to be like a theme and like kind of a lesson in a way. Mm-hmm. And I felt like as good as she is, this one felt at the end, like there's a bit at the end where it felt a little forced. And I hate to say that. I hate to criticize it because I really liked it. But if I'm just breaking it down like an asshole, it felt like I'm going to come up with a bit that's going to be the signature bit. And it's going to like wrap all this up. And it's going to be more physical than stuff I usually do. And it's going to, and it's funny, but it felt like out of like when Maniscalco does something physical, it's kind of fun. And it's kind of like he slips it in every so often, just a gesture. Mm-hmm. This physical bit at the end was like very big and felt almost like consciously chosen. It didn't feel as organic, like, oh, of course she's going to do a big physical. It felt like, yes, people are going to talk about life is a gangbang, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, it fits thematically with how she talks and her comedy, but the physicalness felt like it was like, Nikki, you gotta end on a, like a big note mm-hmm. here. And it worked, but it just, in the back of my mind, I was like, I don't know, you needed that. I felt a little extra, you know, not offensive, not anything like that, but just, and it was a very sort of thematically, it was the show really had like a theme to it. And what I've liked about her is that it feels like she can have a theme, but it doesn't feel like this is the theme. And this one felt, I was a little more conscious of like, there's a theme to this show, but I'm only being critical because I still really liked it. And I don't want to just go, I don't want to give everybody like, this is for comedy people. Anybody who's not a comedian or something is just going to go, oh, I thought it was too vulgar. Or I thought it was hilarious. But for me, I just want to like break it down a little bit rather than just go, I think she's pretty and super funny. The end. but yeah, it was, she is like one of the best out there, like plain and simple. Although I did think in Bangin', I think she talked, I don't mean to bring out receipts. I felt like she was talking about wanting kids, but in this one, she's very like, I'm not about having kids. I never wanted kids. And I'm like, I think I got to watch Bangin' again. We might have an issue. We might have to do a little cross-examination here and say, Nikki, I know it's just comedy, but I believed you. And will it be creepy if I do that outside her window? You said here you wanted kids. And now you say you don't? Which is it? Which is just curious. As a fan. Anyway, guys, Mike is a little freaked out. He's just not prepared for this level of acting talent. He didn't know I had that in the bag. That's in my bag of tricks. Mm-hmm. Stalker guy.
I figured it was in the bag.
I'd be a creepy stalker, wouldn't I?
Yeah, you would.
That'd be terrifying. I'd be scared for them.
Yeah.
I'd be like, you know what? I was going to stalk you, but I see how this looks. It's a little much. But yes, Someday You'll Die. It's really funny. She's great. I suggest you go watch in the comments. Watch both. Netflix, if you have Netflix, you can watch Bangin', And then you can watch Someday You'll Die on HBO Max. And even that can be a subject of discussion, or Friends. Obviously, I assume we're going to get plenty of comments about Friends.
I hope.
And people's opinions. But I had a good time today. And as always, I think I'm the only one.
That's not true.
You enjoyed this one?
Yeah.
All right. Well, all right. Good. Next week, we're back at night. Get ready for a lot of annoyed Mike, everybody.
I'm going to be not happy about that.
So, everybody, I have a bunch of shows coming up. Please go to jlcomedy.com. Check out the shows. Half Blackface, please watch it. Share it with a friend. Leave a nice review. Much appreciated. And that's it. You know, just go to my website. Hope to see you at a show soon.
That's not it. Please go stay on the YouTube channel. Leave some comments under this video. The engagement helps us. The numbers have been going up, and I do think it's because people have been really helpful, and they're leaving nice comments. You don't even have to leave nice comments, but that's very nice of you for doing that. Just say something.
Yeah, ever since I deleted a guy's comment on like episode 2 where he said this guy needs a bra.
Yeah.
I was like
But they're all pretty nice. People are interacting with like things we're talking about on the show. Yeah. So if you have opinions about Friends or anything that we've said, definitely drop it in there because it helps the video get to more people, and we appreciate that.
Hell yeah. And then if you were a video watcher and not a podcast listener,
yeah,
we got a couple of reviews recently, which was very nice. Once again, those are while you're leaving your half blackface review,
yeah,
just go on over Please. On your phone or whatever to iTunes or Spotify, leave a nice review for this show.
That's right.
You know, I know I always make a pitch for buy this or get tickets, is it? But these are the free things. In the words of Don Corleone, because we quote The Godfather so much, but if you should not leave a review or do something completely free and painless, this I will not forgive.
I'm going to blame some people in this room.
I'm going to blame some people in this audience.
All right.
But until that day, I will not be the one to end this podcast. So thank you, everybody. Have a great week, and I will see you next Thursday.